what does Hebrews 10:14 mean when it talks about being perfected forever? That's what we're going to explore in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Grace in Focus. We're currently in a series that I'm very excited about called 100 Faith Alone Verses. Dr. Bob Wilkin has a new book coming out pretty soon by that same title, so we are really excited about this. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome back to the show. We are discussing Bob's future book, available summer 2020, 100 Faith Alone Verses. If you want a book that shows you how to be born again, how to have eternal salvation, how to go to heaven when you die, this is going to be the book that you want if you're unclear about that. Because most churches are very unclear about what you need to do to be saved. You're going to want to read this book. Or if you have doubts and you want to be reassured in your faith, if you want to be built up, because being sure of your salvation, having assurance of salvation, knowing where you stand with Jesus, knowing where you stand with God, is the foundation for the rest of your Christian life. It's the foundation for Christian service. If you're going to be serving the Lord out of doubt, not knowing if you can lose your salvation, not knowing if you're saved at all, not knowing if you're one of the elect or whatever your theological scheme is, your Christian life is going to be very uncertain. It's going to be legalistic. It's going to be really not pleasing to Him. You need to have assurance. You need to be clear on this issue. Well, in this episode, we're going to try to look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. And now, Bob, you had said before in previous episodes that the first 73 chapters of your book are all about clear verses that are absolutely clear that by simply believing in Jesus, you get eternal salvation. But starting with chapter 74, we start getting into verses that are a little trickier, and this would be a tricky verse.
Right. This is chapter 95, and I call it perfected forever because those are part of the words of this verse.
Hebrews 10, verse 14. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified.
Okay, let's start out with what does he mean by for by one offering? What is this one offering?
Well, who is it?
Okay, the who would be Jesus, because we see that, for example, a few verses before in Hebrews 10:10, where we see the same basic language. We see, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Mm. And if you go back in the context, the will is Jesus willingly gave himself up as the sacrifice because the blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away sins.
Right.
So we had to have the blood of Messiah, the God-man. Verse 10 makes it very clear we have been sanctified once and for all. I would say the once and for all at the end of verse 10 looks at the sanctification, not at the offering of the body of Jesus. Okay. However, the same word, hapax, or in the case of verse 10, it's epa-hapax. The word is used in 727 and 928 to refer to Jesus who died once and for all. Mm. Not like the priests who had to go in year after year on the Day of Atonement, but
right.
Jesus one time.
So basically, thousands and thousands of animals were sacrificed every year in the temple on
right.
a daily basis.
Right.
And what that was a constant reminder that, man, this is not working.
Right.
You know, if you get sick and you get a vaccine, usually you're one and done. You get the vaccine and you're healed and you don't have to worry about it anymore. But if you have to keep on taking that medication, that just reminds you that you're still sick. You're not cured yet. And so that's what the animal sacrifices were teaching the people. The sin problem is not dealt with.
Right. And the author of Hebrews also says that all those animal sacrifices foreshadowed the ultimate sacrifice of Messiah.
Right. So you can ask the question, then why did God ask people to keep on giving these animal sacrifices day after day, year after year? It was because it was a teaching tool. One day, Messiah was going to come, and he was going to do what all these animal sacrifices only pointed to.
And remember what John the Baptist called him in John 1:29. Behold, the Lamb of God, mm-hmm. which we normally capitalize Lamb because it refers right. to Jesus, who takes away the sin of the world. So this one offering refers to the once and for all sacrifice of Christ. See, that's one of the problems that you get within Catholicism, is that in their teaching of transubstantiation,
right.
Jesus dies over and over again. So the crucifix has Jesus on the cross because in their way of looking at it, he dies again every time somebody takes the wafer.
Right.
And so in their view, they need an ongoing death of Christ. That's why the Protestant cross doesn't have Jesus on it.
Right.
Because he's risen.
Right.
And his death was once and for all. It seems to me it's important that we recognize it's a once-for-all sacrifice.
Well, and Paul talked about this in Corinthians. He talked about how we celebrate the Lord's Supper in order to remember what he did.
Yes.
Not to reenact, not to re-sacrifice Jesus again and again and again, but to remember that once-and-for-all thing that God had done in Christ on the cross.
Right, exactly. Do this in remembrance of me, both in taking of the bread and of the cup. And, of course, within Protestantism, we take of both the bread and the cup.
So by that one offering, that moment on that day that he died on the cross, he has perfected forever.
This is a great, great
point. What
does
that mean?
Well, the problem with animal sacrifices is they could never make anyone perfect. Look at chapter 10 and verse 1. What does that one say, Sean?
It says, "For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect."
So that's what we need, is to be made perfect.
Right.
Also, you could look at Hebrews 7:11, Hebrews 7:19, both say the same basic thing. But now here he's saying he has perfected forever. F.F. Bruce comments, quote, "Emphasis is being laid on the fact that by the same sacrifice, those who have been cleansed and perfected are now eternally constituted God's holy people." We are eternally constituted
right.
God's set-apart people. So we've been perfected forever. It's not like we've been perfected temporarily and we get to keep it if we're faithful.
Right.
No. Once we believe in Christ, we're perfected forever.
Now, so what you're saying is, if someone comes from a church tradition, like an Arminian tradition,
right.
If you do something super bad, you can lose your salvation, and hopefully you'll get it back again. You're saying this idea of being perfected forever contradicts that theology.
It really does, because once we believe in Christ, we're sanctified or set apart forever, Hebrews 10:10, and we're perfected forever, Hebrews 10:14. Now, it does go on to say, in the New King James, it says, those who are being sanctified.
Here's my question. What does it mean to be perfect? I mean, I'm not perfect. My math skills are still really bad. I'm an okay driver, but I'm not perfect. So what kind of perfect is he talking about?
Well, it seems to me the perfection it's talking about is our standing God. It's not our experience. It's our standing.
Okay.
We have perfect righteousness because of the perfect righteousness of Christ. We are in him who is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, we've been perfected forever in a positional sense.
So it's a moral holiness issue.
It's moral holiness in our position, not in our experience.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
We can be holy in our experience too, and that's what we should be. But here it's referring to our position. And when he says those who are being sanctified, the better translation would be those who are sanctified. The leading dictionary of the New Testament Greek says, "Hence Christians are hagiosmenoi," which basically means sanctified ones. And they cite a few verses like Acts 20:32 and Acts 26:18, both of which are translated "among those who are sanctified."
Okay, so some translations, like the New King James, would suggest to you, okay, now this is, you're perfected forever, those who are kind of in the process of being sanctified experientially.
Right.
And that's a biblical truth. Sanctification is a process, and Paul talks about this in Romans chapters 5 to 8. But you're saying, no, that's not the best translation.
Right.
This is a positional sanctification, too?
Yes, what we would call past sanctification. It's equivalent to justification. We've been set apart forever. That's why a better translation is "among those who are sanctified."
Mm.
We stand in a set-apart position, a sanctified position. And we know that from chapter 10 and verse 10. In chapter 10 and verse 10, he says,
"By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all."
So we've been
a past event, a present reality.
And it's a once-for-all sanctification.
Right.
Now, here's what Hinson and Kroll say in the King James Bible commentary. Three factors within this verse, Hebrews 10:14, make perfect absolute, suggesting the eternal security of the believer. The word itself, teleao, involves completion, the bringing of something to an end. Second, the use of the Greek perfect tense suggests that the perfection has been accomplished and its effects are continuing. Third, the modifier forever expresses security for the believer. Now, Lenski comments, the main point is that we should not think merely of being sanctified in the narrow sense of the term, sanctified in holy living, but in the wide sense, namely being cleansed from sin by justification through Christ's sacrifice. Notice he mentions justification. A justification that is entirely complete and abides forever, of which holy living is only the fruit. Now, I would disagree. I'm not sure exactly what he means by of which holy living is only the fruit. Okay. He may mean it's the intended but not guaranteed fruit. I'm not sure. But the point is, he sees here justification, and he sees something which is complete. So the point here is, he has perfected forever those who are set apart, and we know from elsewhere in Hebrews that people who are set apart are people who are believers in Jesus Christ. Even though it doesn't specifically mention believing, it's understood. The person who believes is the one who is set apart. So I think this is a powerful verse, even though it lacks the word believing. It's a faith alone verse because he's perfected forever those who are set apart because of their faith in Christ. I think this is beautiful, and I would encourage, meditate and study all the faith alone verses in the scriptures, because they are powerful, they are motivational, and we can use them in our witness. And they're, of course, undergirding our assurance of everlasting life.
That's really good, Bob. Thank you very much for those thoughts. If you're interested in learning more about just what the book of Hebrews means, I'd like to mention we published a commentary by Ken Yates on Hebrews available at our web store. And we also have commentary on Hebrews in our Grace New Testament commentary. Instead of buying a study Bible, you might want to get a copy of our Grace New Testament commentary and just read it alongside your Bible. It has more notes. It'll be more in-depth than a study Bible, and you'll probably get more out of it. Well, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Our goal is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for gaining that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are the happiest people of all. If you'd like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. You can learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, we've made it to another Friday, and I hope that you have a great weekend. I'm looking forward to being back with you on Monday as we continue with Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep Grace in Focus.